The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So God speaks to Jonah. How he spoke to him, we don't know, but he got the message for sure. But the interesting bit about it is the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
What's good about it?
He's got another chance.
That's right, yes. God doesn't give up on him. And that's encouraging that if he persevered with Jonah, he can persevere with you and me as well. So God gave him a second chance. This time the message is still the same. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Right, so go and tell them what I want you to say. Yeah, you don't make it up, Jonah. No. You've not to do anything. You just tell them what I want you to say, and that'll be it. Yeah. I love verse 3. What did Jonah do?
He
obeyed. Now that's what it's about, isn't it? It's trusting God, submitting to Him. I was reading something just the other day about a lot of the old Israelite patriarchs. It says they built altars, but we never read that they sacrificed anything on it. And the chap was making the comment, it wasn't an animal sacrifice that God wanted. And it wasn't human sacrifice in the sense of offering people's lives and whatever, but God wants spiritual sacrifice. In other words, the altar was a sign of their commitment. Yeah. Jonah, it's okay, love. Happens to us all.
Put the Lego away to pack up when I'm teaching. Sorry.
It's okay. Technology has its moments, doesn't it? Yeah.
We have to have a memory, you know,
and
sometimes it's not here.
Oh, I suffer. We suffer from that, don't we? memory loss, yeah. Alright, anyway. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. That's quite a journey, you know. I wonder what he thought as he was going. Maybe he wondered what's going to happen now, you know. Off he goes, anyway. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. It's a big place. In fact, it's a complex of several cities. They've done a lot of excavations now. In Jonah's time, it was a very, very big city. And if you wanted to visit all of it, I mean, it was quite a large place. It'd take you a good 3 days to cover all the area. And Jonah's got to tell the people, that's not just one spot, but all around, he's got to tell them about this judgment that's coming. So he sets off and he arrives there. He says, on the first day, Jonah started into the city. So he's off. Right? Begins at some gate or other, I suppose, and trundles in. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Do you think that's all he said?
No.
That's the sum of his message, really, basically. I'm sure he said the reasons why it was going to be overturned. You Ninevites have done so many wrong things. God, the God of heaven, the God of Israel, has decided it's time for you lot to remove you. And so I'm sure that was part of his message. He's explaining to them why God said this. But the big warning is, it's countdown.
I think it's all he needed to say.
Well, it would be all he needed to say. Remember, as we said, Jonah has turned up after being digested partially by this fish's stomach juices. So he would look quite a sight. I assume he'd had a bath, so he'd probably be a bit smelly, less smelly, but yeah. But he looked quite a sight, and maybe news of what had happened with him in the boat in the Med would have got there as well. So everybody's a bit nervous about him, I should think. So Jonah starts proclaiming, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. Right, so countdown. Yeah, why did God give him 40 days?
Gave you a chance to repent.
Yeah.
40 days, isn't it?
It's a significant number, yeah. It's a sign of judgment, but it's an opportunity to change as well.
Yeah.
This is God we're talking about. He's an amazingly gracious God. Nineveh, as I said, had got a terrible record of terrible treatment of people. It was in an inhumane society. And ripe for judgment in one sense, you'd say. But God's giving them a chance.
Yeah.
So, 40 days. Now, then the Ninevites believed God. What about that? They believed God. Now, that's interesting, yeah? Because that's what as Christians we've got to do. It's not a matter of believing in God. Yeah? What's the difference between believing in God and believing God?
It's
more personal.
You can believe in somewhere like, I'm giving an example, of America.
Yeah.
But you don't know America.
That's exactly, yes.
Everything about it. Yep. You could be an authority, but you don't know it.
One's information, and the other one is commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe in God. I do believe in God. I've learned some things about him. But I believe God. I believe what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that means you do something about it. Yeah. That's what it's about. So faith, as you know, faith isn't just a matter of belief in the sense of knowing stuff. It's a commitment to him as well. And the Ninevites, they believed what Jonah said, that God had said. Mm-hmm. So they believed God.
Right away?
Straight off, it seems, yeah.
Yeah.
They were, well, didn't take long. I mean, they've only got 40 days, you know. It concentrates the mind, I suppose. Yeah. So they believed God, and as a result, they declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. So the interesting thing about this isn't from the top down.
Mm.
It isn't the sort of top brass saying, we've got to do something about this. This is the ordinary, everyday chap and woman in the street who say, this is serious, we've got to do something about it. So they were responding, and it says they declared a fast, all of them, from the greatest to the least. So that's big ones and little ones, unimportant people and top important people.
Really,
yeah. And they put on sackcloth. Why do they put on sackcloth?
It's
rushed up, yeah.
Makes them all equal.
Humble.
Well, yeah, it does. It makes them all equal, yes.
Everyone.
That's right, we're all down on the same level.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is sackcloth like? I don't wear it very often. Yeah. It's rushed up. It's rushed up. It's basically, you're saying, none of the luxuries, none of the frivolities of life, we're getting serious about this. So that's what they're doing. They're genuinely showing that they mean business with God. Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah. Now then, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, well, you see, I told you it started at the bottom, but news gets around, and finally, someone told the king. You know, the people in charge are always the last to hear. You know what I'm saying? Happens all the time. Now, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. So he's joining with them. Yeah, this is serious, is what he's taking it as serious. Yeah. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, not that he needed to, because they're all doing it already, but, you know, kings like to let everything be known, I suppose. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything, and do not let them eat or drink. So that's the order. Well, man or beast, what are the beasts we're talking about?
Cows.
The cows and the sheep and the goats, basically. The domestic animals, right? They didn't keep dogs, I don't suppose, but they could starve the dogs. No, why do they make the animals fast as well?
Because the men are that get water for the animals, they won't get tempted in drinking that water.
Well,
that's a thought, yeah.
Animals would be very thin afterwards, but even after the fast, they wouldn't have a lot of meat around.
Well, I'm not sure it's reducing their food intake. I think that it may be a bit of a sort of superstition on their part. But if if nature is suffering, that's an extra voice to our call to God. Yeah. But there is the verse in Romans. It's in chapter 8. Paul says the whole creation is groaning, yeah, crying out for the release when Jesus comes. Yeah. So I think they've got something of the idea behind them that let's all throw our weight behind this cry to God. Yeah.
And
so
the leaves of the tree will clap their hands.
Oh, the whole creation does that.
Tree,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Where have we got to? Lost my place. Yes. Man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. So put sackcloth on the animals as well. might have kept them warm. I think their rough skins wouldn't mind too much anyway. But anyway, let everyone call urgently on God. It's serious here. Yeah? Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. So how did they know they had to give up their evil ways and violence? I think two things.
Jonah
had told them,
yeah.
And their conscience had got to them as well. So they realized.
I mean, it couldn't have been a very nice place to live either.
No,
I mean,
well, everybody was living there, I suppose. If you're on the right side, it's a nice place. Yeah, but if you're the rough end of it, yeah. But anyway, there we are. It's right. Give up your evil ways and all your violence. Yeah.
Perhaps Jonah mentioned about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, God didn't wipe that off the face of the earth, yeah, yeah. Might have done. Yeah. Yeah, we don't know, but he's, obviously his message had made quite an impact.
Yeah.
People have got the message, you could say. Right. So, who knows, this is the king's argument, yeah. Who knows, God may yet relent. Notice he calls him God.
Yeah.
They used to have a load of gods, but he's finally found out there's one that really matters that you have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant logic. Yeah, he says, essentially what he's doing is saying this, we don't deserve mercy, but we've heard that he's a merciful God. If we turn to him, he may turn from what he threatened and have mercy on us. Yeah, that's reasonable, isn't it? Yeah. Of course, when we share the gospel with people, we can say with certainty, if you turn to him, I guarantee you, he will pardon your sins. Yeah, because we know the price is paid through Jesus. But they weren't too sure about what the consequences would be, but they've got the idea that God's merciful, willing to ask, better ask, time's running out. So that's what they do. They repent and call on God. And we see that it was a genuine change, because verse 10 tells us, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
No.
If God saw it, it must have been real.
Yeah.
Yeah? The sad thing about this whole matter of Nineveh is that, well, it was real, I'm sure that's the case, and I've got Jesus' word on it as well. Because Jesus says that the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and they will rise at the resurrection and condemn the generation that rejected Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah,
so they're real. They're real repentance. Yeah, but Jonah didn't stay to disciple them. I think that's part of the problem. And so it wasn't many generations, maybe one generation afterwards, they're back to square one and worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a genuine change for them, but, you know, it didn't last in that sense. That's a sad thing. So you've got to follow up, that's the point. Yep. Anyway, God didn't bring on them what he threatened, yeah? He didn't bring on the destruction, because he had compassion. That's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, how long was Jonah in the city for, would you say? Going around preaching.
3 days, I reckon.
3 days?
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Well,
it takes 3 days to get around, but that's visiting, that's not talking. I'd say he stayed there 40 days. I would assume he stayed there 40 days, because if God says he's going to take the place down, I'm sure Jonah could, he wasn't worried about dying, but I should think he thought, well, if God's going to look after me, he can look after me wherever I am. Yeah. But he was making sure they got the message. I think he stayed there 40 days. And when the 40 days went, what happened? Nothing happened. God had mercy on them. I suspect he saw it coming. I think Jonah saw it coming. Here are these people, and they're turning to God. And that, you know, that must have saddened him, because he preached that similar message in a way to his own countrymen down in Israel, and they had taken no notice whatsoever.
So he preached, then they all got it, and then he come out of the city, and then he just waited.
What happens is, where God didn't bring on the destruction. So the only way Jonah's going to know he didn't bring on the destruction is after we're on 41 days, or more. Yeah.
But he actually says that he sat in the state so he might see that there were.
Yeah.
What would happen?
Well, we're coming to that. Yes, we're coming to that. Yeah.
Jonah
was greatly displeased and became angry. Yeah. Why is he angry?
So they got saved.
There could be all sorts of reasons why.
He
wanted.
Yes. But he wanted them to pay. No.
He wanted. Well, yes. I think there's lots of reasons.
I think he just wanted them to know that there was a God and that God would do that. I think.
Yeah. So he's thinking that God's making himself look like a God that doesn't keep his word.
But
in one sense.
Yeah.
Maybe Jonah felt, you know, this God's just going to make me look stupid.
Yeah,
that's possible. Yeah.
Well, he's upbringing an experience, he's taught them the mindset, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And again, he's also judging them, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think Jonah's really displeased because
he
didn't want God to save him.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think the two reasons why he didn't want God to save them. Number one is they weren't Jews. Yeah, and he's part of the chosen people. Right. And they've got this idea, we're special, God loves us and he hates them.
Right.
This message of Jonah is, God loves us, we're special, but he doesn't not hate them, he loves them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the message, yeah?
Yeah.
God loves them others besides, in spite of their foolish and wicked ways. Yeah?
Pastor was very disappointed because he went to his own people and they didn't listen.
Exactly.
And he thought, what's the point of going to them?
Yeah.
But then when he went, he wanted to see what would happen. And
Well,
Pastor encouraged him in a way after what happened later.
Yes. Well, we'll see.
You think he was fed up because of what he went through? He went through
But he's angry. We'll see. The next few verses tell us why he was angry.
Yeah.
He's really angry because God's forgiven them.
Yes.
Yeah? God's not done what God threatened to do.
Yeah.
And the reason he's not done what he threatened to do is because they've changed.
Yeah.
God hasn't changed.
No.
God says, if you do this, then I'll do that. Yeah, and the flip side of it is, I mean, this is the message. If God says there's going to be judgment, the flip side is repentance means no judgment.
Yeah.
Forgiveness,
The thing is, I mean, I was just thinking as you were talking, this is quite encouraging for us because he's talking to the Lord like I've talked to you.
Yes, oh yeah.
He's not getting all holy as
right.
now.
Yeah, that's the one good thing. There was some old commentator said that, you know. Mm-hmm. Jonah is wrong in virtually everything he says to God, but at least he's saying it to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's truthful of how he feels.
Well, there's Jonah, he's upset, and I think that I said two reasons was, number one, he's a Jewish, and the Jewish people weren't responding, and these Gentiles were. He's not happy about that. But the other is, I suspect that he's got an inkling that the people of the Nineveh are going to be the ones that are going to judge his people sometime down the road. Not too long coming, Nineveh and the Assyrians are going to take out northern Israel. Yeah? And I suspect he doesn't want that to happen. Yeah? So he loves his people, and therefore he doesn't want these people saved in order to cause problems later on.
It reminds me of why that song, I Surrender All, is so hard for us to sing.
Yeah.
Because...
you don't know the consequences.
This is what the Lord's wanting him to do.
Yeah.
But he's having a hard job doing it.
Yeah. It's all part of the plan, and Jonah didn't want to be in the plan, that's the thing. Yeah. So, let's have a look next verse, then he says, verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, that was good, at least he did that, yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? What did he say? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you had a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great statement of faith, but he's complaining.
Yeah, he is. He knew he was going to do it.
Got that from, that Psalm 103
kicks. Well, he probably got, he knew his Psalms well, he discovered them inside the fish, we found out,
They would have got the basis.
So he's saying, this is the kind of God you are. I know that you're the kind of God like that. Kind, gracious and merciful and relents from sending calamity when people respond to you. He says, I knew you like that, that's why I didn't want to go. I decided I'd do a runner because I knew you'd forgive them if they turned.
It's terrible.
I don't know. I think it's just
bad. It's a waste of
a it's human beings that's the problem. Yeah. If I'm all right, blow everybody else.
I seem to be confused about how we would be received after the event as well.
I don't know. I don't know. I think if God's changed their hearts, their attitude to Jonah will be different as well. But we're not told it. This is a lesson more for Jonah than for Nineveh. I mean, God saved him. But anyway, so he says, I knew it. I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd let him off. So he says, what he did was he went outside eventually. But anyway, but the Lord replies, asked a simple question, have you any right to be angry?
Mm-hmm.
Is it right that you're angry about all this? And I mean, if you sat down and thought about it, no.
I think that's a very good question for us.
Have you any right to be angry?
When we have things, I've heard that, I've
applied
that several times.
Yeah.
Well, it's judging, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It takes the steam out of our actions. God's saying, look, Jonah, what's going on in your little head?
Yeah.
Right. Have you any right to be angry? Knows the answer, but we've not. God's going to have a few more words with him yet. But anyway, so Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. Yeah, so he's left the city now. He goes out and sits out on a hill to watch what's going to happen. I think he's half hoping, you know, God's given him time, but you know, he'll zap him eventually. Yeah. So maybe that's what his thought is. We'll go out and see what happens. Yeah. Right. So. Right, he made himself a shelter. It was a bit of a ramshackle business, I suppose. Yeah. Sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Right. And we know he's hoping that it's going to go. But yeah.
The two plugs on the wall by the electric fryers.
Yeah.
Are they both supposed to be off?
Off, yes.
Oh, one
was
the
line.
I kept smelling it.
All right, for chips. Yeah. Yeah. If the thermostat's out, it wouldn't have set fire, don't worry.
Oh, well, I'll turn it off anyway.
Yeah, it's a safety system, but yeah. Thank you, yeah. The treasurer will be happier.
Jim won't get the blame.
That's right, Jim. We don't want your blame now, right. Okay. Okay, so he's going to watch what's happening. So verse 6, then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. Mm-hmm. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. Mm-hmm. Now, I said Jonah, the book of Jonah is full of miracles. Full of miracles, yeah. I mean, God provided all sorts of things, including the fish and where he landed and everything else. God provided a vine. What's unusual about this vine? There are some plants that grow pretty quickly, but this is quick growth. Yeah, it's sort of time lapse photography, isn't it? You know, you see them go like that. Well, this really did like that. There are. But is it plants?
Bamboo.
I was just going to say bamboo does that. It grows pretty sharp. You can almost hear it growing, can't you? Yeah, but this is the vine. It says God provided it, and it's God made it grow extremely quickly, and it's got big broad leaves, nice sunshade, and it calms him down. Yeah,
it calms right for his head.
But the sun's not hit him yet, of course. I mean, it says God's just calming him down. It's a nice bit of pleasant surrounds for him, yeah. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. Is that nice? Yes. Okay. Well, but is there anything wrong with being happy about a nice garden?
No.
Nice, no.
Oh, thank goodness for a bit of shade.
Yes, exactly, yes, right. But at dawn the next day, right, God provided a worm, right. I don't know what kind of worm this was, but it's got good teeth.
Very undernourished.
It's some sort of special creature that God's made. Yeah, I mean, always described as a worm, but I don't know. Yeah, right. But it got through the roots, no trouble at all.
It's amazing, these things you read. You think you've done that?
Yeah. God's in control of the worms as well. Yeah. And what does the worm go and do? Well, it's decided it's having dinner on vine, yes. So, it chewed the vine so that it withered. I assume it went through
the
roots rather than the vine, yeah. Right? Okay, this is at dawn, right.
And then the wind came.
Oh,
yeah. So the sun rose. Well, God makes the sun rise anyway, but I mean, this one, a miracle in one sense. Yeah. But the sun comes up. But in that, I think we could say it was a miracle that it was the weather forecast for that day was hot and sunny. Yeah.
Wind, yeah.
Yeah. And then he says, God provided a scorching east wind, so he stirred up the weather. Right. God's in charge of the weather, did you know that? You can pray about the weather, did you know that?
Yeah.
Good, right, yeah. God's provided a scorching east wind, just the right setting. Gas mark 6 for Jonah. Yeah, perfect, yeah, right. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, right. That was cooking his brains now, right. Yeah, and the result was? He wanted to die. He said it would be better for me to die than to live. Oh dear. He's very sorry for himself. Yeah.
I could never work out why God did that.
Did what?
What he did.
Right. Because Jonah, well, he had to do
it. He'd done nothing wrong at that point.
Oh, he had. Yeah. Oh, his attitude's completely wrong.
No, still wrong.
His attitude's completely wrong. Yeah. Jonah's. God's taught Jonah rebellion doesn't pay by sending him on a nice cruise in the Med. Right? That's number one. Eh? And now Jonah's going to have to learn rebellion doesn't pay in terms of going against God's plan.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. He's not submitting to God's plan, for the Ninevites. Yeah. He wants it to happen his way. Yeah, yeah? And yeah. God's saying, I'm going to teach you a lesson, Jonah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want them to see what, in a smaller way, what would have happened to the people.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
Ahead,
yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right.
Plant, yeah.
Jonah's affection for the plant is wonderful. Yeah. What a lovely plant. What nice, right? And Jonah hasn't done anything to make it grow. He hasn't watered it. Hasn't done anything, right? He's not invested anything in this plant, and then he's upset when it goes and dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's miffed. Yeah. Right. Now the lesson God's saying is, He's going to say is, down in that city, Jonah, I've invested so much in these people. I've made them, Jonah. Yeah? And I've sent you to tell them, right? I've done all this for these people, and you want them to all die. Yeah. So, where we are, Jonah's very angry. He wants to die. Yeah, he's had enough. Yeah.
And right. That's a place we can all get into, right. Isn't it?
He's depressed.
Because, I mean, we can have our nearest and dearest, and we can see exactly what they're doing wrong. And we want to tell them what they should do to be right. But then we're upset when they change.
Yeah. Well, Jonah's upset because of the discomfort. Mm-hmm. He's upset about why it's not going the way he wants.
Yeah.
And he's sufficiently depressed to want to die. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Does God always answer your prayers? God, we would say God answers prayers, but he doesn't always answer it the way you want. He can say no.
I told you, and you have to do as I told you.
Yes.
You haven't done as I told you to do.
So God's not answering Jonah's prayer in the wrong sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God's answering his prayer in the right sense of saying no. Mm-hmm. And God did that with Paul. Yeah. In his letter to the Corinthians, he says, because of these tremendous revelations God gave me, he said, I was given this thorn in my flesh. And we're not told what it is, but he was suffering. He says, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away. He knew God could, and he knew if God wanted to, he would. But God said to him, no. No, Paul, I'm going to leave this with you because this is a way to stop you from getting big-headed. Basically. It's for your good. And Paul realized that, submitted to the Lord, and says, well, I'll glory in my weakness because then Jesus gets to shine through even more. Paul accepted no. Jonah's not too happy about no.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are. Too bad, yes. God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? So this is the lesson coming up, right? Do you have a right to be angry about the vine? Yeah. I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. So he's really lost his head, bless him, yeah. Yeah, I really am angry about this vine, yes. Isn't it funny, what's the problem? It's not the vine.
He's angry all the time, but he thinks it should be his way.
Yes.
And not his way.
Yeah. But the thing I'm getting at is that the poor old vine, well, I mean, it's not the vine in a sense, but the poor old vine gets it in the neck.
Yeah.
Because there's something else niggling him. And isn't that how we are with people, you know?
Yeah.
Someone says something to you and they blow up. And it wasn't what you said. It was something in the back of their minds that, you know, was there festering all the while, and you were just the opportunity for them to have a go. Yeah, you've got the idea.
Well, you can have your own agenda and not be listening and listening.
You know, yes, that's
you
right.
You can have your own agenda or your own thought pattern about something, yeah. So you're not listening to what the person says.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, and it just blows up. Yeah. Well, that's what Jonah is. I'm really miffed about this vine. Yeah. Right. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. You see, have nothing to do with you. Yeah. And yet, you're all upset about this vine. Now you can see why God provided the plant. I mean, it's totally, you know, non-consequential in a way, but he's focused, got his mind on it. Yeah.
He feels sorry for himself all the way to
Well, he is, that's it, yeah. The vine's just a picture of himself, in a way. Yeah. He sprang up overnight and died overnight. Well, that's the vine. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Yeah. And then this is the crunch line. God says, But Nineveh, are you looking, Jonah? Down there, you know what that is? That's Nineveh, yeah? But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Now, what on earth are 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left?
Not
the
sinners.
Is it sinners? Is it the whole population?
They're all blind, aren't they?
They don't know their right from their left, yeah? But, I mean, taking it literally, yeah, they know their left from their right, haven't they?
Yeah.
Who doesn't know their left
from wrong?
That's the picture. Yeah, well, that's part of it. Yeah, but let's go back to the literal bit to start with. Yeah, right. Who doesn't know their right and from their left?
Jonah.
No.
We're told to do that when we give.
Anti-God.
Ah, yeah. You're using right and left in right and wrong in that sense. Yeah. I'm talking about physical right and left. Who doesn't know their right hand from their left hand?
Mm-hmm.
Hand up your right hands. Yeah. Young people,
yeah,
children don't know their right from their left.
Animals don't.
Until they grow to a certain age, they don't know right and left.
Yeah.
Usually about seven, so I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Some are smarter than others.
That's what he's thinking about when he says they're all down there.
Yeah.
Is there 120,000
kids? I think God's saying kids to start with,
yeah.
But you can apply it to the people as well. They don't know right from wrong, but I think it's 120,000 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the population of Nineveh would be about five times that, which is the number that we've got for the figures of the population.
In mine, it says innocent children.
Yeah. Right.
In one of my Bibles, it says that.
Yeah. Innocent children, basically, they don't know that, they don't know right from wrong. They don't. They're innocent in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so God's saying is, there's all these kids down there. That's the first point, yeah? All these kids down there, you want me to destroy them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right, Jonah?
And the animals.
Yeah. Well, come to the animals now. Right, yeah. Yeah, he says, and many cattle as well.
Yeah. What about the dogs?
Well, the dogs can go. And definitely the cats. Oh, the cats and everything. But, but why the cattle? God's basically saying
it.
Well, it's not that. It's not the food. Basically, God's saying is, this is my creation down there, Jonah.
Yeah.
I made these things. I made
these
people.
You've got no right to ask, really,
yeah. And God loves his creation. Yeah. Why should I go around smashing it all just because you're upset?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've warned them, I'll judge them, and I will take away their lives if they keep on sinning. And God did eventually do that. We see with the prophet Nahum later on. But you got the point. Is God saying, I'm not willing to destroy if they're willing to turn?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an example for us as well, preaching the gospel, because some people preach the gospel and then they get into hell and damnation instead of continuing to give the love of Christ, which is what is needed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's hard to say. Sometimes God uses judgments to get people, get their attention,
but
I mean, the intention is to warn people to get away from the danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's the question God's asked Jonah. He's saying is, look, your attitude to these people is completely wrong.
Yeah.
That's right. Your attitude to my creation is completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God's saying is, should not I be concerned about that great city?
Mm-hmm.
God cares. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could write that over, Jonah. God cares. Yeah, and that's why he sent Jonah to try and sort them out for a start, yeah?
Mm.
God cares. Right, now, the last little bit of this we've finished then, really, and it's simply this. Did Jonah change? Did Jonah get the message?
Yeah, of course.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have had the book of Jonah if Jonah hadn't got the message.
Yeah,
because you don't write down what looks bad on you unless you're willing to admit it.
The fact that he actually admitted what he went through and the anger he went through.
He's very honest. He's very honest about how God's dealt with him. And, there's the thing about Jonah, and I mean, I'm trying to make excuses for him in a way now. Jonah was like a fish out of water, if you excuse the pun. And it's this. Jonah is a pioneer in something that God's going to do.
Mm.
He promised he would do, but he'd not done before.
Yeah.
And that was, he would bless the nations. Yeah? Up to that time, it was God had chosen Israel. He was working his plans for Israel, sorting them out, knocking their heads together, straightening them out, preparing for the coming of the Messiah. And yet, all the time, God had made a promise to Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the promise to Abraham, right at the beginning. And yet, he hadn't done it before. I mean, there were a few Egyptians who came out of Egypt, yeah, and a Moabite girl called Ruth, you know,
yeah,
just ones or twos, but God blessing nations, and then horrible, foreign lot, yeah? No, he hadn't done that before. So Jonah is, as I say, a pioneer, and, you know, when you're going on new tracks, it's a bit hard to sort of get your head straight.
And
so that's one of the
things. It helps us to understand Israel as well, doesn't it? It helps us to understand the Orthodox Jews, because they're steeped in tradition and they're steeped in what Jonah was steeped in, really.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with, the sad thing is, there's nothing wrong with being the chosen.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? But just realise, God's chosen you for a reason.
Yeah.
Not because, I mean, he says this to the Israelites, you read Deuteronomy, Moses says so. God didn't choose you because you were the biggest and the smartest. No, you were the little ones, and you're not that smart either, you know. God chose you for a purpose, in order to reveal himself to you, to make you his own people, and through you to bring the Saviour in order that the world might be blessed. And that's true for Israel, yeah? Messiah comes to Israel in order to bless the world, yeah? And it's true for you, brothers and sisters. Are you chosen?
Yeah.
Hmm. Right. So, now then, just learn from Jonah, yeah? I'm chosen, you're chosen, so we're the best.
No.
Right, no. No. You're chosen to bless.
Yeah.
In other words, to be a channel for God's grace to flow out to somebody else.
Yeah. And the only reason we see what we see is because of the grace of God.
Yes, so Oh, it's all grace,
You know, we could be in the same place that really.
So, I come back to Jonah. What did you think he did at the end of all this then?
He repented.
He changed his mind, I'm sure, and went back home. I suspect he went back home and got on with what God had given him to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, the future's in God's hands. You can't change the future. It's God who's doing all that, Jonah, you do what God's given you to do. And the other interesting little thing is, how much of Jonah's life was taken up with these events that we see in the book of Jonah?
Not
2 weeks?
Yeah.
6 months?
Like,
no. But these events that we've seen here.
Oh, the events.
In the, you know, getting on the boat, going for the trip, and then up to the event. A few weeks, That's all. That was the focus of God's plan for Jonah at that point, So God hadn't finished with Jonah, but I say, you know, in our lives, there may be just short periods in God's, in our time, that God's got something really special to do,
Yeah.
And the rest is preparation in a sense. But, you know, you just have to do what God says. And you leave him to work out what's important and what isn't important. Jonah, he did his job because he's written it down. Jonah.
When he went back to his people, they must have been amazed at how much God loves Gentiles.
Yeah.
Preparing the way goes back to, like they're told in their laws, aren't they, to take care of strangers and make them welcome
So
it was showing someone going out.
Yeah.
People
and it should have made them turn from their ways.
From their ways and reach out more to others.
Yeah.
That God's love.
Yeah. And that is the principle that Paul mentions in Romans for people who are Gentiles. In their response to people who are Jewish, he says, what you're to do is to make them jealous. Jealous in the right sense, that they'll see you've got something, someone, that they need. Good. Okay, well, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for Jonah. Thank you for his willing to tell, Lord, what wasn't very good news about himself, but it's wonderful news about you, Lord. That's why you chose to use him, Lord, I guess. He's a man pretty reluctant to do the things that you wanted him to do, Lord, but through it there's tremendous lessons to be learned. Lord, thank you for the good news. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Lord, that's still true today, Lord. And so we pray for our world, Lord, heading for judgment, we know, Lord. And here we are as people who've got the light. Help us, Lord, to share what we can that others might find Jesus for themselves too. Mm. Lord, you are merciful, you are gracious, and you give us, it seems, so much time, Lord. But I know, Lord, time is running out, Lord. Help us to be wise users of the time and our lives that you give us, Lord. Make us wise, and Lord, make us a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.